Trustee Ouellette.
Here.
Trustee Siborowski. Yep. Not here. Trustee Sell.
Here.
Trustee Gens.
Here.
Trustee Chadwick.
Here.
President Birmingham.
Here. Thank you very much. I will take approval of the minutes from the board meeting of November 5th. Take a motion.
Move to approve the regular board meeting minutes and special board meeting minutes of November 5th, 2019. All trustees have had a chance to review and look at them.
Any discussion or corrections? There's none. We'll take a roll call for approval.
Trustee Barbian.
Aye.
Trustee Ouellette.
Aye.
Trustee Sell.
Aye.
Trustee Gens.
Aye.
Trustee Chadwick.
Aye.
President Birmingham.
Aye. Thank you very much. Moving on to item number 5, public hearing action. Whenever it's possible, we'll effectively move this up forward to public hearing. Tonight we have a couple. BO2-19-96, review and consider an ordinance adopting the Village of Greendale Comprehensive Plan 2020 to 2045. 19-14 and CC-19-7. Excellent. Glenn, thank you very much. Guys, thank you.
Thank you for having us here. We're very excited to work on this project with you.
So should we do an intro now? Okay, great. So we just want to give an overview of the process we've had working on this plan this year with you all. We started with a kickoff meeting in July with staff. That was on the 15th. And then we moved to a period of gathering public comments and community engagement for this update. And before I go on, actually, I'm sorry. The comprehensive plans in the state of Wisconsin are mandated by the Smart Growth Law. It's chapter 66 of the state statutes. And that specifies that updates are to be made every 10 years. Growing up, we deal with that 10-year mark. And that's our work this year. So after the kickoff meeting in July, we moved to a period of community engagement. We went to Greendale Days and met with people there, gathered feedback and comments and ideas. We had a meeting with staff also in August. In September, we had a booth at Downtown Market, also engaging with the Greendale community. Mm-hmm. And on October 9th, we had a meeting with Plan Commission to review the draft update. And from that, we just had a few sort of key topics, went through a lot of different, you know, points of discussion, and implemented some changes of, per the high-level recommendations and discussions, including specifically some items regarding the Village Center and Crossroads. And then also, we addressed written advocacy from two members of the Plan Commission. And you also have a memo that goes over some of the closer discussion that came out of those comments.
Our hope for the goal tonight would be to first open up any general comments the board might have regarding the comprehensive plan, and then we would hope to go in detail over some of the recommendations that were not, or that were contained in the notes of the Plan Commission memos that we received that we weren't able to discuss at that meeting. Does that seem like an appropriate outline for the board?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
I was just going to say, in their report, they did go over quite a bit of what was submitted to them, you know, from the Plan Commission, any comments that were given from the public that they cited. So they've incorporated that. So if you have a chance to read that, you've seen what that, the changes and everything that they have implemented. Some of the things that were suggested as well have been included as well in this. Some of the things that we were hoping for, suggestions and things as well, were also put in. So if you've had the chance, I think it's a good update. It's a 10-year review. Okay, and it's a bit more, honestly, it's more thorough than I expected. I expected a bit more brief tenure, and this one does go into it much more in much more detail. type of thing. So I think that that's a credit to you guys. So appreciate that.
Yeah, I also think you did a great job on taking us through the history and the whole part. So very nice job. I know I think you followed what the Planning Commission wanted to do. So hats off to you. Thank you very much.
It's significant help with the history section from Stanley, so thanks.
He's telling our historian.
Okay, well, were there any general or specific comments that you wanted to address or change?
Anybody else? Go ahead, Sally.
Okay, the one thing that I did notice throughout this whole thing was the increase in homes or the increase in population and stuff like that, and I found that a bit disconcerting. Okay, because we are a, basically, we're landlocked and we have no place to go and stuff like that. But I think if you read on and on it and stuff, it's more like families increasing in the home instead of maybe just having a one child, they have two, so therefore you go like this. Yeah. So when I started reading that, that was probably my biggest concern about that. I think the emphasis on green space and the things that Greendale takes a great deal of pride in, I think that is things that we need to go over and look at and review. And one of the things that they did in here, which I had hoped we would do before Scott Satula left, okay, Ken, that's something we can work on, is doing the Greendale original guidelines. Okay, that just needs to be freshened up and looked at and, you know, brought up to date as well, at which they've also included. Okay, which is what I think we need to do. So a lot of the things they say we need to do and take care of, I think we should. So, okay, that's all.
Other questions? On this? Yep, next. Very nice job.
All right.
Glenn?
I just had a question.
Yes.
At the Plan Commission meeting, we talked about including a section on our diversity and attempt for diversity and inclusion. And what did that be put in?
Yeah, that was the Plan Commission recommended that we adjust one of the recommendations to include the credit card number.
Could you tell us what page that's on?
Yeah, once I find it.
Oh, okay.
So I can go to page 141. The words that the Planning Commission used that night were highlight and share the narrative that illustrates Greendale's multicultural diversity. That's under
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the ninth line from the top. On page 131. Okay. Were you going to, you didn't have any other recommendations, but how we could accomplish that lofty goal by any chance? Have you seen any other communities who've had interested in the same outcome?
Yeah,
what they've done.
I think the first goal right now is to acknowledge it as a valuable goal, which is what this plan is doing. It's a high level visioning document.
I would just say that it takes some community conversation, and some consideration to figure out what those folk are going to be for Greendale, and if that's something we want to talk about now for how we can adjust this here, if we want this to set the table, if we want to adjust this goal to best set the table for that discussion at the village level for maybe further action, then we can do that. Certainly, if there's a way that this can best set you all up for success in tackling those issues.
I think you get it with the recommendations and the parties responsible. So, very good. Other questions? All right, then. I think we're good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for the work you did on this. I know it's a lot of lot to do, and we're probably good until 45.
Well, definitely. Yeah.
or whatever. Okay. So we appreciate it. Thank you very much. So I'm going to open the public hearing on this. So this is your chance to come up and talk about the things on here. So if you'd like to, anybody want to talk about for or against the things we could add, please.
Hi, I'm Elaine Alba, 4815 Sutton Lane, on behalf of Wisconsin Safe Technology. I'm here today to voice opposition to anything in the revised comprehensive plan that supports Greenville becoming a smart city. That's something like the city of Racine is working towards right now. Or anything in it that supports the deployment of 4G or 5G-enabled small cells throughout the village. And here are my reasons why, and then I'm going to end with examples of how things can go wrong in a smart city. 5G wireless technology, as we know and have heard previously, is one big human experiment. It has not been proven safe. 5G small cell antennas inside our neighborhoods will dramatically increase our exposure to wireless radiation, which is a scientifically proven health hazard, resulting in cancer, DNA damage, reproductive harm, and much more. 5G health risks, now that's just 5G millimeter waves, they're predicting damage to eyes, immune system disruption, skin damage, and a rise in bacterial resistance. Greenville's Tree City USA designation might be at risk because trees may need to be trimmed or removed so they don't block the 5G signal. Cellular radiation also harms trees. Increased energy use. A 5G small cell is expected to consume roughly 3 times as much power as a 4G small cell. And more 5G small cells are needed to cover the same area. There will be an increase in e-waste from obsolete gadgets, cell phones, and devices. Property value decline. 5G millimeter waves will decimate insect populations, which unfortunately are already in decline because of EMF. NASA said that 5G could interfere with weather forecasting. Screen addiction and radiation from wireless technology is linked to increasing neuropsychiatric issues, anxiety, depression, anger, violence, and suicidal ideation, especially youth. Privacy. Increased numbers of connected devices means increased data collection about all of us for marketing and surveillance. This year, Swiss Re, the insurance company, listed 5G as an emerging concern within the next 3 years due to cyber attacks and health implications. Smart cities, which use sensors to collect data about utilities, road conditions, traffic, garbage collection, and even which swing in a park is used most, are more vulnerable to hackers. So now here are some examples that were listed in the Wall Street Journal in September. In Dallas, hackers accessed the city's alarm system and set off 150 tornado alarms, resulting in 4,000 calls to emergency services. In Atlanta, hackers looking for ransom accessed the city services, including bill payments, court scheduling, and police dash cam, and the cost to repair that hack was $7 million. In Lake City, which is a population of 12,000, in Riviera Beach, Florida, 34,000, hackers compromised their 911 systems and the cities ended up paying the ransom. In Australia, a disgruntled ex-employee hacked into the sewer management system, releasing raw sewage into Carson River. And finally, hackers could turn all traffic lights in a city to green at the same time. So I hope the board will take my comments into consideration to protect the health, privacy, safety, and security of Greenville citizens and not go the smart city route. And here's the flyers that will describe a little bit more. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else want to talk about comprehensive plan for or against? Go ahead, Joe.
I'd like to thank AT&T because I can have their 5G cell service here in Greendale. I didn't have a chance to look at the plan, but my one concern and what I mean there is the idea of making Southridge into a feeder district. Unfortunately, I think that's the way a lot of the malls want to go, and if we're going to go that route, just look at what's happening to Bayshore. Brookfield Square is going that route. That's probably the closest mall in our region. It would be duplicating what someone else is doing. So I think we need to find something that would set Southridge area apart from what everybody else is trying to do. Whether that be some excuse or suggested, but calling it a corner for a theater district, I don't think that's the best route we want to go. Maybe we can build a ski hill there to be with the rock. I don't know. But for ice skating rink. But if you shouldn't be competing with something that's so close. It's only 1 8 miles away. We're not going to be drawing anything. So just left my thoughts. We'll get a little overview.
Thank you, Joe. And as everyone knows, the Southridge area is a private, really owned composite with who owns that, but we have always kept our eye on Southridge and kind of leaned people which way to take that. And we kind of, I think in our plan, have three different ideas over the next 20 years, as if it's a mall, if it's not, if it needs to be something, so we'll take a look at that. Anyone else for or against or have some ideas that we need to add? No one? I will close the floor and I'll take a
I just want to put people on this stand. Yeah, I'm sure you all do. The comprehensive plan is something mandated from the state that we have to do. And although there's many things written going in it, a lot of it is going to do financially depending. We can't do some of the things that are in there. And particularly as a landlocked community established that we're limited to some of the things. So, and I don't recall there being anything at all in there in regards to the power stuff at all. So I just wanted to mention that. So,
one of those
things. We don't.
I just wanted it in the record. And this is one of those things we'll keep our eye on as we go and move along. So appreciate anything you're bringing up to move us that way. That we've already taken, a motion on trying to stop it in our own way, and then I can both don't.
So it's part of the wired infrastructure, which is the building.
All right, I will take a motion to update this plan. So go ahead, Sally, go ahead.
I so move to approve the adopt the new Village of Greendale Comprehensive Plan, which was updated to conclude the years 2020 to 2045.
Take a second. All right, any comments from the board? Now we'll take a roll call for approval, please. To adopt.
Trustee Ouellette?
Aye.
Trustee Sell?
Aye.
Trustee Ginn?
Aye.
Trustee Chadwick?
Aye.
President Birmingham?
Aye.
Trustee Barbie?
Aye.
Very good. Moving on to item B, BOT 1988, 2020 Village Proposed Budget, FC 19-34. Consider action. Thank you, guys. Again, thank you for all you did. Consider action on resolution 2019-10, approving the 2020 budget. And number two, consider a resolution 2019-11, setting the 2019 tax levy.
Just explain to committee of the whole asked for two versions of the resolution, one with the officer in that was taken out of the budget, and one with the officer out, so we have both of them prepared depending on what one you want to pass.
Okay. I understand that the assessor wouldn't let us out of the contract.
That's what?
He said it was more expensive to do it the next year.
Correct. Reason. More people would come out. Yes, also that is the end of our contract.
Oh, okay. That's to do the assessment.
So we would do the assessment next year then?
So we'll do assessment next year. Well, not this year.
Well, next year.
Okay. All right. So, board, what's your pleasure? We have two here. What's the bottom line here, both of you?
Well, I think that.
Yes, please.
Senator Michael has done an outstanding job on the budget. Doing to fit the police officer in to this within striking distance of being a balanced item. The assessment that got out of that would have covered the differences there, which is why I brought it up. I think that through our discussion and making Manager Michaels find a way to fit it in, I think we should go with a budget that indicates the addition or for the police officer, at least for this year. And we've all discussed many times that next year is a new year and even a more challenging budget coming forward. And there are things in the budget that I have issues with, but this one is one I think we should go with. That's my opinion.
I was just going to encourage Ron, because we spent a lot of time on making it work, maybe a little bit disingenuous to go back to the original budget at this point. You know, for lack of a better term, it's a bummer if we can't get out of the reassessment contract in order to boost the equipment fund back up a bit. But bottom line, I think we were within $1,000 or $3,000 in the two-year scenario. So.
And I think just in relationship to what we were talking about, letting you see what happened at Southridge, just this incident in the last week or so at Southridge, I think is one of those things we need to watch and say, you know, where we're going. So I think it's a better look at maybe next year and really where this is going, where Southridge is going, what happens, to our police department, where we want to go. So. That's kind of where I'm still in the sense. But if anyone else on this budget, I'm going to open up the public hearing for the budget for 2020. Anyone wishing to come up and talk on the end of it, please come on up right now. Name and address for the record. Anyone to go ahead? Yes, thank you.
This is the appropriate time.
That's not the time. It's yours. This is your only time, so please do. Thank you. Now, name and address.
My name is Ken Kulesha, K-U-L-E-S-H-A, and I live at 6706 Riverdale Lane.
Thank you, Ken. Go ahead.
In the 2020 proposed budget, I propose the transfer of the hydrant rental from the village budget to the water utility. It's an end run around the state budget law that limits the amount of budget that the community is allowed to raise. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else for or against talk about the proposed 2020 budget? With that, I'll close the public hearing. And we'll take a motion on accepting the budget. Which one? Yes.
We're
go ahead, please.
In regards to the budget, I give management myself and all the staff tremendous credit for trying to fit in a massively tight situation into this budget and making us able to hang on to services that we treasure in Greendale. And I just want to say there's some things on the budget, and we talked about it many, many times in the past, kind of related to what the gentleman said. You know, I don't like the way some of the things were done to make it fit in, and we discussed that, but what's in a democracy is the vote happened a while ago, and it was decided to move the water money over. I do think it, I have problems with that, but I am still going to vote for the budget tonight, because we do need a budget, but not happy with somebody.
Okay, very good. Board, any other comments on this budget? Yes.
The discussion?
Yes.
Part because we haven't had a motion second.
Just take a motion first? And,
I mean,
can do it either way.
I guess it's
I'll take a motion.
I can make my comment now, or I can make it later.
We'll take a motion first. Just go ahead. We'll do it now.
Motion to approve DOC 1988-2020 Village Proposed Budget FC 1934, approving the 2020 budget.
Second motion.
Okay.
Could you have resolution?
One or two.
No, it's just 2019.
Okay. In addition to what I motioned, action, approve resolution R2019-10.
Very good. And now, discussion, please.
Some of you probably also have received emails. I just received one yesterday. I've been getting them all week. I've been getting them all... Since we first started going down this road, I don't think our citizens are really aware of what we're doing by transferring the public fire protection money from out of the levy into the water bill. They still believe that there's some kind of savings being achieved here, and they don't believe that it's really a hidden tax of $377,000. And I don't know how we can rectify that, but I feel very disappointed that we weren't able to get that message out, convey that to more people, what exactly is going on. I hear words like, phrases like, we're not being transparent. Now, I know we published it, and I'm not saying that, but still the perception is people still don't understand. And I can't say I disagree with them. This is money. I mean, we advertise that this is a 1.9% increase of the budget, but it's really not. It's more like a 5.6. When you factor in, there's $377,000 of brand new taxes that is now going to be heaped onto our taxpayers. I totally agree with Trustee Barbie in that there's serious misgivings about this.
Further discussion? Anyone else?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but that one went into the road budget, right? We needed roads extremely bad, and that's all we hear is roads improvement, and that was an option to fix the roads. Am I correct?
Yes.
If we don't keep this money in the road budget, which is where it is, we'll essentially run the numbers off of the village engineer's estimates on road needs. We'll essentially be on an 89-year paving program. So your roads can get done roughly every 89 years. Obviously, it's not the last 89 years. So with that money, we're still at 60 more years.
I mean, another option would be to borrow the fund, which will cost us even more money, correct? So, I mean, we just, you know, it costs money to run the village, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I emphasize, and I feel like the best bet would have been, or the best outcome would be to move it over, just clean up the accounting, and not have to raise the taxes by the $377,000. Mm-hmm. If you look at the budget, where do we find that money to cut out? Like, you know, I'm not happy as any of you who've been to these prior meetings about the road situation as it is at 64 years. I thought it was 62, but 64 years. So, I mean, to go to 89, we can't do it. We have to think about the future boards and what the needs are going to be, and costs are just going to keep going up and up and up. So it's just a tough situation. And I'm with Carl on the notifying. I don't know, you know, maybe we could put it on the public access channel too. But I believe we put a letter with the water bill. Is that correct?
Correct. We also put it in the village meeting.
So,
to come to the budget meeting.
Right.
And you saw.
Yeah.
Who came? I just want to add, you're using the words increasing taxes, and in fact, we're not. The tax levy was what it was. The 1.9 is what's agreed. Every other community, other than Shorewood, has had this $377,000 in their budget. So when we've compared our tax rate to those other communities for all these years, they have had that money. I cannot more strongly support what you are doing, and that now you can put it to the roads. That's what all the other communities have been able to do for all these years. So people can say it's hidden. We sent the letter. We said come to the budget meeting. We put it in the village views. No one here is trying to hide it from the people.
Right.
But the reality is the best financial decision is to have it so that it will go to the roads. And again, for all these years that we've missed out on it, and to clarify, the legislature this spring absolutely said, take it off your general, put it to your water, and there's no obligation to reduce your levy, because they understand that we were not on a level playing field with the other communities. So I know when you think about those dollars, but in the end, the other people, we're only increasing it by what we're increasing it by. And
I just add, talk about comparing taxes. I had sent up to the board previously so they know, but in 2012, we had the eighth highest tax rate in the county, which is 19 municipalities. In 2015, we were ninth out of 19. In 2018, we dropped to 13th out of 19. So we've actually held the line. I mean, our tax increase is 9.9%. Is an average of 1.14%. Inflation at the same time was 1.77%. So we've been holding the levy below inflation and dropping compared to all the municipalities. And I think we all want to see ourselves as not 13 out of 19. I think obviously you don't want to raise the rate, but level of service wise, we expect to be better. And I'm not sure how you can expect high level services for taxes.
And I think some of the things that we have discussed along the way has been taking loans out. You know, there's cheap loans that we could get to do a lot of things in doing that, but it's still money you're borrowing. We've always prided ourselves on trying not to do that and taking that part of it. So I the reason I jumped on to this, and I have always been on this fire hydrant thing, is because it is money that we can transfer. We can now use that money instead of the way we're doing it. And there's a lot of ways you can look at. There's a lot of ways we can say this is what you're doing, you're not. And even recently it was on the radio, and Belling talked about it again. People look at it different ways. So it really helped us to really use some money that, yes, you're going to pay through stormwater, three times a year in your bill, and you're going to get a small bill for that, but it allows us to really use this money. So it was like one of these decisions where it really helps us now. But I think it's also one of those things we could change at any time and go back to if we wanted to. Not that I ever would do that, but I think that's when we got to
remember. Also, the people that weren't paying for water, the schools, the churches, the businesses, we were getting nothing from them. This allows us to charge the businesses, churches,
yeah,
schools to pay for the water.
Yeah, the not-for-profit.
Okay. Yeah.
The not-for-profit, churches, schools, businesses, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Churches, schools,
yeah, in that regard, I did request a number of just how much money we were talking about for the nonprofits. I never got that figure. Did you
ever request it?
You?
I'll have to look.
I want to know when we were talking about just how, you know, nonprofits not paying. I asked just, well, how many nonprofits are there, and just how much money are we talking about?
I don't recall you asking that, but I do recall Trustee Siborowski asking that, and it's $15,000.
$15,000 a year.
Just one more thing. Remember, also we discussed maybe starting to do special assessments to the citizens because of the high level services, and I am not for that. We take care of our citizens very well. We're a lot of other municipalities special assess all the roads, all the sidewalks, and this helps us to be able to continue to do it in that way. I have not heard any objections to this.
All right, so we have a motion, and any other discussion? Why we're, if not, we'll have a motion and a second. We'll go take this for the vote.
Could I? Yeah. The 2019-10 is the correct one that includes the police officer, or should that be stated? It includes it. Okay. That's okay. Okay. So, Trustee Sell.
Yes.
Trustee Gens.
377,000 times no.
Trustee Chadwick.
Aye.
President Birmingham.
Aye.
Trustee Barbian.
Yes.
Trustee Ouellette.
Yes.
Very good. We'll move on. And with that, we are going to item number 6, which is Citizens First Comment. Wait a minute. Sorry? Oh, sorry. I thought that was all clear. All right, consider action on Resolution 2019-11, setting the 2019 tax levy.
Got to just say this is the levy that is included as was just approved in the budget.
Make a motion to approve Resolution R 2019-11, setting the 2019 tax levy.
Second motion.
Discussion on the tax levy.
The manager Michael just mentioned that I think over the past 10 years we were, our levy increase was 1.14%. I realize now with this levy here, which includes that $377,000 of new taxes, we're like 5.6%.
Depends on how you're looking at it. If you're going to call it a new tax, you can do that.
But well, if something wasn't there before, and now it is, it's new.
We can go back and forth on that, Carl. Uh-huh. So that's not really... I'm listening to our court treasurer here saying that this is not a new tax. I would agree, even if this was an increase of that amount, we have to get back to reality of what taxes are. We can't stay at 1.4 forever. I mean, listen, I as much as it's hard for me to say at the beginning of this whole discussion, I said we should be up at 4% for taxes. I hate to say that. I'm a Greendale resident myself. But we are doing a lot of things in Greendale that we cannot pay for. And that's why we've gotten to a point where we are at. So if we're not going to look at that way of increasing taxes, we have to look at somewhere to get money. So I think in the future we really need to kind of look at where we are in taxes. I love living in Greendale, and there's a lot of people I'm looking at here who love to be in part of Greendale. The reality is we can't stay below 2% in taxes forever. We can't do it unless we eliminate positions and people in Greendale. So if that's our way to go, then that's what we have to look at. So, or we have to look at the taxes. It's really... I mean, I've been a part of this for 22 years, and I've watched us take this and come to the department heads every year and say, hey, cut your part of your budgets down by a certain amount. How much more can we go on that? So I just kind of say we're at that point where I would agree with Trustee Gens and Barbie and that something has to be done, and I think we have to move at some point. So. But I am for this budget and the way it's done, and that's where we're going. So, other discussion on this item, please. There's none. We'll take a roll. We'll take a roll call for approval.
Trustee Gens?
No.
Trustee Chadwick?
Aye.
President Birmingham?
Aye.
Trustee Trustee Barbian?
Aye.
Trustee Ouellette?
Aye.
Trustee Stone?
Aye.
Very good. Thank you. And with that, now we will move on to citizens' comments. So anyone else wanting to come up and talk to us, please come up, give your name and address for the record. If there's none, we'll move on to standing committee. Tonight we have the Finance Committee, Trustee Barbier.
Thank you, Mr. Dorian. Tony Bill's proposed budget has already been done. So number two is to consider approval of beverage operating license SC 1935. The Finance Committee recommends the bill for approval. Nathaniel Smith, Marcus C. Schofleck, Kimberly Linder, Walgreens, Annette Rogers, Longhorn Bowling and Music, Nicholas McKendrick, Vintage 38. All have completed their training through our police department, and we're recommending approval for them. I'd also like to add the next one without a problem. Okay, I'd like to, from the Finance Committee, is also recommending approval for the application of temporary extension of premise permit for Ricardo's Pizza for November 29, 2019 at the Christmas tree lighting ceremony and December 6, 2019 at Dickens of the Village, SC 1936.
Second motion.
Any discussion at all in regards to these approvals of any of the trustees? Since I see none, I ask for a roll call.
Trustee Chadwick?
Aye.
President Birmingham?
Aye.
Trustee Barbian?
Aye.
Trustee Ouellette?
Aye.
Trustee Sell?
Aye.
Trustee Gins?
Aye.
That concludes the Finance Committee's report for tonight.
Thank you very much. Item B, Planning Commission, I think we
Nothing
went over
to
that
add.
One. Very good, thank you. Library Board, Trustee Gins?
Nothing to add tonight, but
thank you very much.
We will be meeting tomorrow, so next
Excellent.
Meeting.
Excellent, and we'll look forward to that. Public Works Committee, Trustee Barbier.
We had no current meeting for this month.
All right, Board of Health, Trustee Sell.
We did have a meeting today, actually, and a couple updates. Just today, at 4:36, I believe it was, we had 120 people who had signed up for the MIND diet presentation by a renowned neurologist at the police station. Another event that was successful in attendance was the Step Up to Better Health Fun Run, which had over 700 people attend, and a food clinic was also recently hosted in. The health department has given out 366 flu shots to date. I think we're two left over.
Very good.
Are you looking for one? they also have started their required 5-year comprehensive plan. So, and then also, as you'll see down in the agenda, we're going to be discussing adding a position for a drug-free coordinator position, as they've received $125,000 grant, which is a 5-year grant for 1.5 times 5 years of a 5-year extension option as well. And then in addition to that, they obtained another grant for $21,000 and another one for $6,000, all for drug and alcohol prevention. So basically every grant that they can apply for, they're doing so and they're successful. In fact, there are only 1 in 5 Wisconsin communities that were awarded this grant successfully in 2019.
Excellent.
I believe that is all I have to say on the Board of Health update.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Trustee Self? Yes.
Applause for getting the grant. This is fantastic. You mentioned that an extension can be passed 5 years. Is that agreed upon by both, or can we just extend it? It will be a success, I'm confident of that. Are we the ones to extend that, or?
Yeah, Sue, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we have to apply for it.
So
it's likely that once you have it. But 99%
of them that have the first 5 years have the second 5 years, which usually,
that's where I was
going. 5 years.
So we can kind of look at this
likely to say anything on that.
Yeah, and the way that broke the grant application, 10% of the amount is allocated to overhead for the treasurer for any extra work they have to do or extra work she has to do. So any savings there, we could move to additional needs for the health department. So.
Thank you,
Thank you. Next one.
Thank you, Sue.
All right, moving right along to next one's not here. Parks and Rec, Trustee Sullivan.
No meeting.
No meeting and public celebration.
We did have a meeting, and I did want to announce that we did vote on the Spirit of Retail Award winner for 2019. It is Alex Kibicki, and he does a lot of things for the village. He's Retail Education Foundation. President, he's been a Girl Scout leader, he helps Parks and Rec, he's been PTO president, he helps the health department, does a lot of good things in Greendale, so I was really happy to see that. And then another thing, we voted on Halloween for 2020 to be on Halloween, October 31st, which would be great if that never happens. We changed to a Saturday.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you. Any questions? And celebration night. Okay. With that, we'll move on to old business. I have no appointment committees in the new business DOT 19-97. Discussion and necessary action regarding eliminating the clerk treasurer position and creating a village clerk and village clerk financial director. Are you speaking on this? Go ahead.
Oh, it's his memo. Hey, I thought that was your memo. I thought I was writing it for you.
I have to talk on this, but
seriously, I thought I wrote it for you. I didn't put my name on it. Did you put my name on it? I didn't put my name on it. Truly.
So do we want to hold that one for coming back?
I thought that this was Todd's recommendation, not my recommendation. Thank you.
But so you got anything?
Still in the background.
Right here.
Sure. I mean, I listed off some of the things that are going on, but with Darlene leaving, was a good time to think about what has been going on with our six new debt issues. I mean, listing off the level of work that we have to do, new reporting requirements with the state, constant with the GASB financial statement reporting requirements. It's just...
So you'd be splitting your job up, and that would
clear. Yeah, so what is the
correct. So
financial impact?
There's statutory duties for a village clerk and a village treasurer. We have, for as long as I know, had the clerk treasurer serves both of those functions. Now the proposal is to split them so she wouldn't be responsible for the clerk's function anymore. But it relieves the pressure from her of having a deputy clerk to do most of the work, but she's responsible for it.
So wouldn't that be
increase in
wages?
Yes, it's increase in wages for the
clerk. Go ahead.
It wouldn't impact this budget. The new person coming in would be in the same. It's a little bit of a range difference. But there would be no expectation that the person coming in would be making more than what she going out. If you do remember, Darlene was a clerk before she came to us, a full clerk, and knew those duties. So, just a matter of that it, regardless if she's doing the work, that in the end it's my name is on it and I have to be involved in it. I feel an obligation.
One thing that a couple of board members have asked me is, how did this come up? How did I know about this? This came up because we had the position open with Jesse Clerk. We couldn't do this. We wouldn't have done this with her here. We wouldn't have made her the clerk. Now we have the opportunity to to try to make this decision. You also, there's no reason that you're pressured to make it tonight. I mean, we certainly can talk about it for a couple of weeks. I wouldn't want to go be more than one more meeting before you make a decision, yes or no.
Conceptually, I think this is a good idea and it is an opportunity. I know that we can't control what people do, but also it would be nice to have this before the budget. we just did. So, but, well, that's really up to the next question. We're, I know there's a range and all that, but we're confident that this is still going to fall in as a basically even to the budget. And we've just approved it. I think we're going to January 2nd with a negative position already.
So when would this person, were you looking at starting this person this year?
Oh, yes, sir. But again, they're not going to make more than what she was making. Whoever's coming in new to that is not going to
be out of that range. So that's all I wanted to ask. Make sure this person comes in there for a lot more.
At the top of her range where she started. Right. So that village clerk range is a little bit, I mean, I want to say it starts 4,000 higher than what the other one and ends 4,000 higher than the other. But there's the whole.
So tell me, am I correct in that the clerk, that clerk would, so we're talking about another year or so from eliminating some of the voting things. So this, the clerk, village clerk would be doing the voting stuff. Is that what the idea? She would, rather than you?
She would not be doing it.
Correct.
She would. So if we eliminate some, that would lower what she's going to be doing, correct?
No.
No.
Sadly, right.
No, right. All right. No. I just personally would like to carry this on as a discussion item further. I don't know if I'm ready to move on this tonight, because I didn't have enough. Go ahead.
I agree. I just wanted to bring one other thing for you to consider when you do have time. Right now, we charge 50% of the deputy clerk over to the water utilities, sewer utilities, stormwater utilities. We would charge less of this position for that, the first position.
But we would charge none of it, but what would happen is...
But it would get allocated to others in the department. So when you look at the wages, you're only doing... You know,
so is everybody... Yeah, go ahead, please.
If we want to push it, that's fine. The only thing I would want to see would be maybe a comparison between the village clerk treasurer and deputy clerk pay. This is, I mean, maybe that would be helpful to validate the non-fiscal implications. But I mean, take you at your word too, and with these numbers. So if there are no fiscal implications, and the board has, you know, the motive to get this done tonight, I'd be fine voting tonight as well.
As well, I mean, the board. Go ahead,
I'd like to see this table to further discussion because I have good questions. Currently, we have a clerk treasurer and a deputy treasurer and a deputy clerk.
Correct.
Well, now what will we have when we go to this? We will have just a clerk and a treasurer and a deputy treasurer. Why not? Okay.
I have to agree with Carl. I think I would like to see this discussed further and brought back as a item that we would have that motion and then file it with.
I'll make a motion to table this discussion until the next meeting in 2 weeks.
No
and
later than that.
And trustees can submit any questions that they may have.
Waiting on
the period of time so we can have done.
Okay.
For another night. Okay. So that's making us be without anyone. When she's done on Friday, we will be with no one.
Totally.
And our hiring process will stop.
For that harm.
Right now we have.
I have
my
deputy
clerk. Oh, go with the deputy clerk?
Or deputy clerk, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what's authorized.
It is. It is what's authorized, but do I move forward with that or do I sit and wait? So I will start interviewing for that.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah.
We
don't want to stop you. We just want to.
Well, you would.
What?
So. Further discussion on the motion on the floor? If not, we'll take a roll call for tabling this for a meeting on December
1st. First meeting. Yeah.
Trustee Olette.
Whatever you've done.
Yeah, I can't.
No.
No to table. Trustee Spell.
No.
Trustee Gens.
Aye.
Trustee Chadwick.
No.
President Birmingham.
Aye.
Trustee Barbie.
Aye.
3-3.
First time table.
not table talk.
But they don't have to take action on it, obviously.
Huh?
Obviously, it's true that someone can change your vote.
Right.
So,
I'll make a motion just to see if anyone has a change of heart. Make a motion to approve eliminating the clerk treasurer position and creating the village clerk and village treasurer finance director position.
Second motion.
Yes.
Just so you know, the way we wrote this up, we do have to make significant ordinance changes to implement this, so that would come to the next board meeting.
Because the reason I'm really saying no is it doesn't make sense for her to start interviewing for a job that's not correct. It doesn't make sense.
I agree, especially with the holidays coming. And that's just the way things are.
But so you understand completely. I'm
and with gas season coming up and everything, because you're short of employees, I don't know.
Is there any position you don't know?
Well, we're not adding a position. We're just changing the title. And the duties.
They're adding dollars. And
we're not adding dollars.
We are.
Okay, well, it would not be changing dollars.
Correct. For this budget. For 2020.
For this budget.
Not to be mean, but the way that it works is pretty much nobody gets to the top of their range around here. So, except for. I'm just saying it takes a long time. I didn't mean that in a way, but it takes a long time of progression to get to.
So it'll be minimal impact.
I'm not saying that. Well, I'm not saying there that there would be any, and I really didn't mean that in a bad way. I didn't at all, and he's so deserving. So, but he's been here. You know.
So how long? How many years have you been here, Scott? 21 years to get.
Yeah.
To where you are. So that's pretty good.
But that's a long time to get to the top.
So let me just understand this, and then we're gonna talk about it more. So tell me again, the clerk. So you're just gonna replace the person that's here with the village clerk. Village clerk will come in at a salary of approximately where you are now.
No. Oh, okay. So I think that's that we're not.
Yes.
So right now there's the clerk treasurer and there's the deputy clerk.
Yes.
Basically the clerk treasurer and finance director. So my pay range has been as if I'm a finance director, just a finance director, not a finance director and a clerk.
Okay.
So when you compare for me to just be now the finance director, that's mine and that is my range. That right what is on there, that did not change. And then the village clerk one, again, I think it's $4,000 that start a little higher at this one and goes a little higher. So in the end, they would have hope of getting to that top, which would be higher than what the deputy clerk. Additionally, I think it is in the memo, this position would be the salary type, so it would be like me and the other department heads that doesn't get overtime. So right now, we pay for any overtime that the deputy clerk does on the election day or whatever. For me, I'm free. I don't mean it that way, but it doesn't matter how long I stay or not. So
you still want to see some of that?
That's another. No. So that's the idea, is to let it be, right, let it be.
But somebody else
its own.
So that is the possibility of this costing us more is there to cost.
Well, sir, I'm going to tell you.
It's wrong.
As you have
a $1 million budget, we're talking about a couple thousand.
Okay, and we don't hire somebody at the very top of the thing. We're a community that people come to as a growth, like a next stepping stone to be. So, in terms of what we're offering, we will be offering more. Look at Darlene came to us to be a deputy for more money when she was a clerk somewhere already. This is just a little higher in the range, but also it does eliminate the overtime, which I had forgotten to mention as well. Other communities have moved to it. Did you read the Shorewood. So Sarah, who used to be here, you moved around a little bit, but when the time came for Shorewood, they couldn't get a clerk treasurer. It was a clerk treasurer person who had moved on. They could not find anybody who had those qualifications, and they split it and just said, okay, you know, treasurer function, go into finance department, which they already had, and they made the village clerk.
Jim, you as president should be able to vote for Jason.
What's that? All right, well, somebody make a motion, I guess.
Well, the motion is on the table. I would ask for only a slight addition, if they wouldn't say, just put in there that it doesn't impact 2020 budget, whatever the hiring is.
Yeah.
Would you agree to that? Then I would be willing to switch my vote.
So next year, if it's a six.
Well, we get to decide the salary. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Believe me, I hate what you're saying, and you're saying, but we're just going to keep going round and round at three times here. We do get the impact on next year. We need to all try to remember the impact of the 2021 budget when 1 year comes around, just to see, so that it's not inflating in the form. I mean, we control that. Even with process, we could change a particular rate, right?
That's, I'm good.
Well,
if you can, I can change it too.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, I just say, the hang-up I think we have right three is we're concerned on a budget application. For me, we just passed the budget, and I'm just concerned on the next year. I don't want to have it where we get an update and all of a sudden, we're just off a little bit here because we hired a person a little more. She's very qualified, or he's very qualified, and that's what we did. That's my concern. I think that's what I'm hearing.
And you are recommending this,
right? Trustee Sell.
I think from whatever everybody said, we should do this.
Yeah, and I'm concerned about not just this budget, but future budgets as well. And it sounds to me, if I'm correct, that the maximum additional impact that this allocation would have over the current one is $4,000.
And I didn't subtract away the overtime that she gets. So basically, it's kind of in the end, because I could figure out what she's been getting for overtime, but we budget, I think, of roughly around $3,000 for that. This is kind of just wrapped into, and so now come and do the meetings and don't have to.
And it seems to be with this position, we would hopefully attract good quality candidates, so we'd have a more solid staff for the cost of maybe $1,000 more in the future. It's not next year. Next year's zero.
Somebody needs to come in for the name.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a motion.
Yeah.
We're just going to add in. Okay.
All right. And when I put in the memo with that it's not going to affect it, truly.
Okay.
I'd like to
we'll
put
you
put that in as well. Watching those things. Okay.
We'll be back.
Okay. So, Trustee Ouellette.
Aye.
Trustee Sell.
Aye.
Trustee Gens.
I don't have enough information on this, so I have to vote no at this time.
Trustee Chadwick.
Aye.
President Birmingham.
Aye.
Trustee Barbian.
Aye. All right, stop what you want to.
It's so funny because that was not.
Pretty good. All right. Any other questions on this? I guess not. We'll move right along. Item B, BOC 1998, discussion necessary action regarding creation of a drug-free community grant coordinator position to the health department.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you.
Okay, so as Trustee Dell told you a little while ago, the Village Greendale has received the drug community grant from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, and so it's for $125,000 for 5 years, so through 2024, and then the renewal of another 5 years, so it's a total of $1.25 million. $1,250,000 is how much it's for. So one of the nice features is we started this community alliance that focused on substance abuse back in 2017. So we have been, as Trustee Stell mentioned, we've been applying for every grant that we become aware of that makes sense for us to apply for. We've been very successful in getting that. So what this will do, it will help the community alliance really carry out the work that we've already started. So it was formed in 2017, and you may notice that it says Greendale and Hale Corners. So very similar to what the fire department does here. It supports Hale Corners Fire, and the Greendale Police supports Hale Corners Police Department and their dispatch. The health departments of Hale Corners and Greendale have worked very closely together. We have a lot of shared services. We're both small, and we cover for each other a lot. And this sort of just seems to fit naturally with that effort that we work so closely together. Our communities are very much alike. And so, and then it adds 7,000 more residents. But what you might not be aware of is all the alcohol establishments that are in Hale Corners. They have some of the highest, they have the highest alcohol establishment in Milwaukee County, and one of the highest in the state. So, yeah, I know a lot of people that don't even know that. But, so what this grant will provide then is a community grant coordinator position, and if that, we already have a person that has been functioning in this role, and that is our public health specialist, and her name is Madeline Kornbeck. So she is a public health specialist. She has a master's in public health. So she's been working as a community alliance coordinator very part-time, because she's part-time. She only is supported 20 hours a week on tax levy. So that is going to allow us to create a full-time position. So that's why here I'm asking that I be allowed to use this $125,000 to create this full-time community alliance coordinator position. And then she will direct all the work of the coalition. She'll be responsible for the report and overseeing all the action plans and activities and evaluation measures. So I did outline some of the salaries. So what I have is what I gave you was her current salary. So she, as a public health specialist, gets the same salary as a public health nurse. So she's in the salary range of $58,678 to $61,298. So with her salary and benefits, it would be around $73,846. So I'm hoping that you would approve this position, and then if Madeline is allowed to move into this full time, then I have a position open, and I will submit a request to fill that position. So we would end up with one additional person, and the grant has a lot of in-kind match. So we do have funds in there to assist with the deputy treasurer, who helps us with a lot of our grant management. So we did write some indirect costs in there. So indirect means that it's not specifically grant activity, but it supports the grant by the financial piece that she does for us already.
So does this kind of replace the DARE program, or are you actually going into all the schools and the training?
This is very fully used. It's substance abuse, prevention of youth, and we're able to choose two substances, and they're alcohol and marijuana. So we used the 2019 Youth Risk Behavior Survey that was done at the high school. And there's a lot of alcohol and marijuana use in the school. And so that was one of the, we have to show that there was a need for this. So part of this also is a part-time independent board meeting, which is it's only an appointee. It's one of our public health nurses that's currently hired. She will be working with Madeline to do some things in the school. But we're already in the school class already.
And then we're going to work out the health class, and Jim, what do you really do?
We do a lot of activities, planning with the Greendale Assistance Program, it's called. So we do a lot of activities related to drug and alcohol use. So we are able to expand that.
My big question is, there are people that are doing heroin, okay, in Greendale. So
yes.
If we know someone that is and they need help, is this a person we could call and say, could you be a resource for this family?
Yeah, we've been doing that right along.
Yeah.
So we have our second thinking already of our resource guide. So the nurses are trained. We've worked with the police and fire already to interact with people who use opioids as well.
Right.
So the other two grants that Matt mentioned, the $21,000 and the $7,000, are for opioids. But this one is specifically for use and alcohol and marijuana. As we know that when they start using these substances when they're really young, it affects their brain. Long-term drug use over time.
Thank you, Sean. I will take some, yes.
I have a question. Since we've put Christian through a lot of stuff, I think I have to ask it, but to be fair. So Madeline will go into the grant money.
Right.
Okay.
Full-time grant.
Okay. And so then you will be backfilling her position.
Okay. So right now,
with the same salary that she has now,
yes.
We won't be hiring one at a higher salary. So it will be neutral.
They're the same neutral salary, right? It may be lower because.
Excellent, it could be lower.
It could be. I mean, they're really salary range depending on their experience.
I just wanted to go on record to be.
We'll take a motion for approval of this.
How exactly is it neutral? Are we adding a new part time?
No. So Madeline is currently part time, cash levy 1,000 hours a year. So by her moving into this full time position, that 1,000 hours is available to hire somebody. So that money's already in the 2020 grant or in the 2020 tax levy budget. And then we're able to add hours up to 29 hours with grants. So there's no extra, there's no official impact at all.
Yeah. It's similar to the effect that her quitting would have on the general fund.
Yes. Right. She could, in effect, resign and then move into the position. And then I do a request to Phil to Todd, and that's all. It's just like a new hiring process to start all over again. But I hope to hire two fairly quickly because there's a lot to do with both jobs.
And what happens in 5 years? Let's say the grant does not renew.
Like I was saying, almost 99% of the initial 5 year grantees receive the additional 5 years. It's only if there's almost like malfeasance. But there's a lot of requirements. These are not easy grants. They're very competitive. We have a lot of reporting requirements. But if a grantee is not following their requirements, they cannot, responsibility that they would renew the next 5 years.
This is a federal grant
to White House Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration.
So in 2020, there could be a change in administration and a change in the whole policy in 5 years. So I'm sure 99%. When you say 99%,
that's
right.
And
some of that, 1%.
Right. Let's see how.
What happens? God forbid something happens to this citizen.
Then she loses her position.
Don't have anymore, right?
And she's well aware of that. We've had that discussion. Heaven forbid it does happen, but I've seen a recent service effect there as well.
Alright, so long as that's an understanding.
Nice job.
Yeah, great job.
Alright, I'll take a motion and we can have any more. more discussion?
Make a motion to approve action regarding creation of a drug-free community grant coordinator position in the health department.
Second motion.
Other discussion on this item. I think it's excellent, and thank you too for moving forward. With that, we'll take a roll call for approval of this position money.
Trustee Sell?
Yes.
Trustee Ginn?
Aye.
Trustee Chadwick?
Aye.
President Birmingham?
Aye.
Trustee Barbian?
Aye.
Trustee Ouellette?
Aye.
Very good. With that, we'll move on now, everyone on the board, to see the officers' report. Any questions to any of the officers and staff here tonight? Yes.
I see 10 questions. How did I just got my leave?
Yeah.
Are we done or are we continuing to do it the rest of the week?
No, we're continuing until we finish the village.
Started
in the east and we're working. Everybody's got, you know,
one more tonight.
So they've all been on a week schedule. So we started east and we're working our way west. We're
in front
of the family.
Got
it. Hopefully by before Thanksgiving, would be nice to be finished and weather permitting, we would still continue to go around.
And it's on the garbage day, correct?
No,
not anymore.
Or now it's just whatever. Schedule comes around the recycling day.
Okay.
But then that schedule's going up, so then we just work east to west. It's just more efficient. We can get
great job.
A lot faster.
Okay.
Yeah, right there. Right.
Perfect.
And you guys are pretty easy.
David came to the house, I know. Thank you.
Thanks for all you're doing. You know, that's kind of my double whammy that Mother Nature gave you. So. By tree, you still got to leave, so it's coming. Yeah. All right. With that, we'll move on to the last citizen comments point. So anyone wishing to talk to us here last time, come on up. Give us your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Joe Russell, 609 Drive, 6599 Bassett Street. Regarding one comment on the budget and also the emails you received, I find it kind of interesting there was not much interest in the budget because I attended a budget meeting and I can count on one hand the number of citizens that were here. I guess maybe people listen to Mark Kelly more than they probably come to actually attend meetings, which is kind of sad. I agree it only hurts the budget, but over the years, things like Scott Walker did and so forth with sharing funds, slowly matching eggs in the corner. I don't think we can last 90-some years having grocery pays. Because probably be at the 5 for grocery pays. You got to do something somewhere. So thank you for making a tough decision. Thank you to Pat for working the budget. I also want to commend you, the board, that you go through and review the expenditures by the department heads and so forth on each meeting. Unlike the school board, which does not, and as we saw today with Greendale, got a bit more bad press in the school system because of, they didn't bother with doing really good job of tracking credit card expenditures. So thanks to an open record request, that information has gotten out, and not a lot of people know, but you guys do a better job of pricing your own expenditures than the school board does. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Joe. Anyone else? Final citizens' comments. Time is out. See no one. We will go to number 13, number 12, a closed session. Board will convene in closed session pursuant to 19-85, 1C, and consider employment, promotion, compensation, and performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the government body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility. Specifically, discuss the 2020 salary resolution and the village manager's 2019 performance evaluation. Return to open session. The board reserves the right to return to open session on the matter discussed in closed. Number A, to consider approving the 2020 salary resolution. I'll take a motion for adjournment.
Move to adjourn the closed session as outlined by President Birmingham.
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Well, I take 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 20 seconds.